Thank you very much, Zach. I get close enough. Can everybody hear me fine? Very good. Really appreciate the opportunity to meet here tonight in Polk County. I think it's a real opportunity. You know, when I look at the future, I see two possibilities. The first is full of economic turbulence and uncertainty, a lack of transparency and openness, the continued inability to get things done from a common good, and division and lack of cooperation between young and old, rural and urban, Republican and Democrat. There's a second option, a better one, a future that is filled with opportunity, a better quality of life, healthier soil that generates more wealth, and cleaner water. In other words, a future bright with promise because we have chosen to live up to our fullest potential and worked hard to achieve it. That's a future that I see, and it's a future that my great-great-grandfather saw when he walked, and yes, he actually walked, from Home County, Ohio, to Pouchy County, Iowa in 1859. What was he looking for? He was looking for a farm to purchase for his new family. A year later, he returned back to my hometown in Brooklyn by covered wagon with his young wife and new baby and finished purchasing the home farm. He came because he saw a bright future with promise, a future that was waiting for him, a future that he could achieve through hard work. He came because he found clean water, healthy soils, and a welcoming community, a place where dreams could come true. Grandpa knew that there would be opportunity for his family for generations to come. I'm the fifth generation, and my boys and their family are the sixth generations to live and work on our farm. We are living testaments that Iowa is a place where dreams can still come true. Every one of you here tonight is living testament that Iowa is indeed a place where dreams can come and come true to each one of you every day, because we're willing to work hard, respect each other, and have a faith in God. Yet we also know that the future doesn't come with any guarantees. And we know what happens when we take our eye off the ball and fail to work with each other. In agriculture, the result is depleted soil, diminished water quality, and a death of opportunities across rural Iowa for generations and future generations. I farmed through the 80s. I've weathered the disasters of turbulent prices and unfavorable weather. I've never taken a government handout because of disaster, and never have I used the cost share programs for conservation. We take care of our land because it's the right thing to do. We don't need to take taxpayers' money, your money, to do it. Each time our family experienced a setback, we regrouped and decided how to make things better and more predictable. We always buckled down and held fast, always calculating risk. Our strategy of planning and calculating risk got us through the droughts of 1976, 1983, and 1988, and other challenges, also many challenges. The years that treated us more kindly allowed us to make improvements to our facilities and put a little money away for the next downturn in the rural economy. We could talk all night long about our problems, but I'm committed to creating opportunities. My vision, goal, and history of results is one of urban and rural economies working together with openness and transparency. It's a transformed landscape, green with fall to spring covering crop that protects and nourishes some of the world's most productive soil and reduces the nutrients and chemicals entering our waterways. Getting that done is going to require real leadership. Real leadership involves taking a stand, even when it's not always popular. I was the first to announce my candidacy because we need a Secretary of Agriculture who will lead to achieve specific goals. I've been tested by challenges tougher than the fires and winds and storms of so many farmers. Let me give you two examples. In 2007, I was chairman of FBL Financial when the global recession hit us extremely hard. Our investment people claimed our exposure to mortgage-backed securities was, oh, perhaps $10 or $12 million. And with a portfolio of excess of $10 billion, that wasn't a big deal. Before long, FBL Financial was losing $10 to $12 million a day. And then in a single week, we lost over $100 million in capital that just evaporated. As you remember well, the financial markets locked up and closed the door on insurance companies like FBL. Our public stock had fallen from a $30 range in the summer to $1.80 by late winter. We were, for all practical purposes, insolvent. The experts offered nothing but dead ends. I immediately set forth a plan with our general counsel and executive director to correct what the CEO and his team couldn't, a plan that I had used in the farm during the 80s. By implementing that plan, FBL Financial survived the storm, and today its stock has traded above $70 a share. As president of the Iowa Farm Bureau, I was told it was impossible, as president of the Iowa Board of Regents, I was told it was impossible to make our university system more efficient because political pressure from legislators and faculty wouldn't let it happen. The faculty, especially at the University of Iowa, said there was no shortage of money. All you have to do is raise taxes. And I was told it was impossible to lower the in-state tuition costs for our students. Well, we proved them wrong by saving millions of dollars and freezing tuition at our three public universities for the first time in over 30 years. When I was president of the Iowa Farm Bureau, we developed the slogan, People, Progress, and Pride. I love that theme. We became the corporate partner of both the Iowa High School Athletic Association and the Iowa Girls Athletic Union. We organized a coalition to support Iowa farm families, and we launched Renew Rural Iowa and formed a partnership with the University of Iowa that still exists today. America needs farmers. And how many of you remember the American chopper built by the Iowa Farm Bureau? I bet you do, Biker Mark. We built that because it is our way of showing there was a future for E85. In short, we got things done and made a lasting difference. I know what it takes to lead, get results, and win. You all know about getting things done, getting results, making a lasting difference, and winning. By choosing to be involved, you have chosen and earned the right and great responsibility to determine the direction of Iowa's future by selecting our next Secretary of Agriculture. And I know you take that responsibility very seriously. That's why you're here tonight. Our next Secretary of Agriculture must be an individual who has built strong coalitions, because together we will succeed, but divided we will fall. Our next Secretary of Agriculture must have trade negotiation experience for farmers and the communities to enjoy the value of new and expanded markets. I've done that. Our next Secretary of Agriculture must possess the experience, skills, and temperament to go to work on day one with a vision and focus to get things done. And our nominee must be prepared to take the battle to the Democrat nominee and win. I ask you to judge my future ability to serve as your Secretary of Agriculture by judging my decades-long past performance of fighting and winning. The fights that matter. I'm up to the challenge, not just winning in November, but leading from the front as Iowa's next Secretary of Agriculture. My dream and vision for our state is just like yours. To have my children and grandchildren here close by, leading happy, successful, and secure lives where they give back to their communities. It's a life my great-great-grandfather envisioned so long ago. It's a life we can have by working together on the right priorities. I ask you to vote for a brighter future with cleaner water, healthier soil, and growing opportunities for all of Iowa. I ask you to vote for me, Craig Lang, that's L-A-N-G, at Saturday's state convention. God bless you, God bless this great state and nation, and thank you.